morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Store's 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Kara Murray. Let's get into the news from the University of Connecticut this week. The movement to establish a Middle Eastern and South Asian cultural center on campus has recently been revitalized. Daily Campus correspondent Brandon Barzola writes that students spread a petition to gather support for the implementation of the cultural center. The petition currently has over 280 signatures that consist of undergraduate and graduate students, professional staff, and faculty. Students of the Middle Eastern Student Association, or MESA, are working to plan a series of events to raise awareness about the petition. However, the movement has not been free of challenges. The fourth floor of the student union is full, so a space large enough for the new cultural center still needs to be found. Over the past 2 years, students from MESA have met with the directors of the cultural centers, the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, student union staff members, and other student organizations to raise awareness about their organization and to raise support for the implementation of MESAC. Sixth semester physiology and neurobiology and human rights major Noor Tawe said that now more than ever, she has heard students from Middle Eastern and South Asian backgrounds talk about how they wish they had their own cultural space on campus. UConn's chapter of Con Perg testified in support of a bill that will ban styrofoam in Connecticut. Daily Campus correspondent Rachel Phillipson writes that according to a Con Perg press release, the General Assembly's Environment Committee voted in favor to pass SB 99, an act concerning the use and distribution of polystyrene products. The bill would ban foam cups and takeout containers across the state. Zero Waste campaign coordinator Dylan DeMora said the bill would focus on banning expanded polystyrene, also known as styrofoam or foam, as it bans foam takeout containers and school lunch trays. According to the testimony Con Perg presented, 1,658 petition signatures signed in agreement to the bill. DeMora said the bill would provide a good solution instead of attempting to recycle or reuse the material. The bill will next go to the Senate floor for a vote. Students participating in study abroad programs in Italy and South Korea were urged to return to the United States as soon as possible due to the outbreak of COVID-19 or coronavirus. Daily Campus and WHUS correspondent Olivia Hickey writes that according to UConn spokeswoman Stephanie Reitz, students must quarantine themselves for 2 weeks before returning to campus. An email from University Communications said students returning from overseas will be able to complete their coursework requirements online and remotely. There are over 1,600 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Italy, and so far 34 people have died. However, no cases of coronavirus have been reported in Connecticut or at UConn. Last week was National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. USG and SHAPE ran a Jars of Acceptance event to help students with body image and self-esteem. WHUS correspondent Brianna Hidalgo was there to cover it.
On Wednesday, February 26th, Undergraduate Student Government, USG, and the Students Helping to Achieve Positive Esteem, SHAPE, ran the Jars of Acceptance event for National Eating Disorders Awareness, NEDA Week, which help encourage accepting attitudes about body image and self-esteem on campus. NEDA Week is a yearly national campaign from February 26th to March 4th that promotes eating disorder advocacy and provides resources for those who are interested in seeking treatment. The event at the Student Union Ballroom was organized by USG and SHAPE. It gave students the opportunity to decorate and paint a mason jar to fill with personal statements. The purpose of this was to reflect on what they accept about their body and identity and what they are struggling to accept. Casey Maketo, a committee member of the USG Mental Health and Wellness who collaborated on the event, said students also had the option to submit an anonymous testimonial that was displayed in the background while students made the jars.
To like reinforce or promote the idea of body acceptance and self-acceptance, they're written anonymously, so anyone who writes one, if it's detailing a struggle or something that it's personal to them, they don't have to disclose their identity, but it lets you really just embrace your struggles and your triumph.
According to Maketo, this is the first event of a series that USG has just started called #IAccept. Events towards the end of this month will be encompassing the idea of mental and body self-acceptance. freshman Willow Yang said she and a friend came to this event because they often bond over their struggles with body image and believe it's important to have these resources available to students.
Like, it never hurts to talk more about mental health and bring awareness to that, especially in a place like college where a lot of people feel like, you know, vulnerable, and it's a time where we're questioning ourselves a lot. So having these kinds of events is really important.
Sophomore Jawani Kubros said, "The message this event brings is very important, and it's a great start to begin to have certain conversations about our bodies we tend to avoid."
So it's like, I think that's also not only good for me, like, personally, but I think it's just a good thing to start having around on campus, trying to, like, end stigmas around certain body types and diet culture and all that.
UConn Student Health and Wellness have established an eating disorder support team, providing services to students that include a medical evaluation, psychiatric and psychological evaluation, nutritional counseling, and women's clinic services, according to the Student Health and Wellness website. Maya Smith, who represented SHAPE, said events like the Jar of Self-Acceptance help students find out what services are offered to them on campus.
Well, it's important, first of all, to, like, spread the message about eating disorders. I feel like a lot of people don't know that UConn has a lot of resources and what resources are best to get treatment and, like, how to help people and help your friends. And so, like, it's really important that we have stuff, especially this week, to share that with people.
For WHUS News, I'm Brianna Hidalgo.
Elections ran this week from March 3rd to March 5th, where UConn students had the opportunity to vote for the student body president and vice president and more. Among these issues were the Nutmeg publishing fee increase. WHUS's Grace McFadden sat down with Nutmeg's editor-in-chief, Madison Busick, to discuss.
Between March 3rd and 5th, the University of Connecticut student body has the opportunity to vote for student body president, vice president, trustee, and several other undergraduate student government positions in the 2020 joint elections. Additionally, there are several referenda on this year's ballot. One such referendum is the Nutmeg publishing fee increase. WHUS sat down with 8th semester digital media and design major and Nutmeg Publishing's editor-in-chief, Madison Busick, to discuss. Busick explained that Nutmeg Publishing is the student organization responsible for the annual yearbook and Nutmeg magazine.
Nutmeg creates a yearbook every year, so it covers the major events that happen on campus, and seniors can also get their portrait taken for free to be featured in the yearbook, and all fee-paying undergraduate students at the Storrs campus get a yearbook sent to them for free after their graduation, which is really exciting. We also create an online magazine called Nutmeg Magazine every semester.
In this year's referendum, Nutmeg Publishing is asking to increase the student fee by $1 a semester, or $2 per year. As explained by Busick, the initiative is asking students to approve this increase for some time in the future.
Yeah, so we currently, from each student, get $3 per semester in the student activity fee in your fee bill, and we are looking to increase that to $4 per semester for, like, a variety of reasons, but basically, costs are going up, and we have to increase our budget to continue offering the services that we do. So the vote in the referendum is if you approve that increase or not. And the increase will not go into effect for 2 years, so it would be in 2021, I believe.
There are a number of reasons to ask for the funds. Busick explained that costs overall are increasing, and the referendum would allow Nutmeg Publishing to continue their work. She also said that it could help the organization get some new equipment.
Yeah. Cool. So what are you guys looking for some more money for?
Yeah, so like I've said before, a lot of costs are going up, so just with inflation, like, the cost for printing books is going up, minimum wage is going up, stuff like that. We also, a lot of our office equipment is outdated, so we need to be able to update that to continue our production quality. And
Busick encouraged students to vote in the upcoming joint elections.
So you go to the website vote.ucon.edu. It'll be March 3rd through 5th. I think it opens at noon on the 3rd and closes at noon on the 5th. So you just go on that website and you can vote.
For WHUS News, I'm Grace McFadden.
And now here's the weather. There's a chance of rain today, mainly after 1 p.m. There will be increasing clouds with a high near 46. Tonight, there will be a chance of rain and snow before 9 p.m., and then a chance of snow between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. It will be cloudy with a low around 27. Saturday will be mostly cloudy through mid-morning. then gradual clearing with a high near 41. Saturday night will be mostly clear with a low around 24. Sunday will be sunny with a high near 52. That's all the news we have for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be speaking with WHUS's training director, Rita Plant.
Hey there, how have you been?
Not too good. My job stinks. My friends moved to Alaska, and my armpits smell like Bologna.
Oh boy, do I have the solution.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's just two easy steps.
Stop right there. Been there, done that.
I doubt it. Step one, go to whus.org. And step two, click on About and Training. Within minutes, you will learn about a way to get valuable skills in radio, video, audio, and more. And even get your own show right on Yukon Sound Alternative, WHUS.
Wow! Thanks, Dad! WHUS, here I come!
Welcome back. From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I'm here with our training director, Rita H. Plant.
Hi.
That's your middle initial, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. How are you, Rita?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Kara?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for waking up so early and coming on our WHUS News Department show.
I know, it was pretty hard waking up this early.
I know. I know, because you complained about it ever since I asked you to be on, even though I frequently offered for us to pre-record it or pick someone else. You were
it's
like,
it's just not the same.
No, I'll do it. But I'm very glad that you're here. So Rita, you're our training director here at good old WHUS. What made you want to be training director? Like, how did you get into this position?
Well, I kind of just applied because I saw that they were having elections, and I was like, well, I've been a DJ for about 2 months. Might as well. I have nothing to lose. I did not think that I was going to even had a remote chance of becoming training director, but it seemed like a good job, like a good gig to have, and I just wanted to get more involved. So I ran, and I didn't even go to the elections meeting because I didn't think I had a shot. But then, like, I got a call during my class that said, like, hey, you got the job. And I was like,
wow.
Wait, what did it mean?
In class? Got
in
a
class.
Job.
So I was like, yeah. Ever since then, I just kind of, like, really got so involved, like, so fast.
Yeah, this is true.
It was kind of just, like, a 0 to 100 kind of thing.
Yeah, so you joined your freshman year? Or your sophomore year?
Technically, I joined my freshman year by going to, like, New Music Committee. Mm-hmm. I went to, like, maybe 4 or 5 New Music Committee meetings, like, my first semester freshman year. But then I just kind of, like, stopped going because the meetings were, like, a little too long at the time for me. And then, like, I wanted to continue coming back in, like, the next semesters or, like, as time went on. But then at my other job, like, they interfered with the meeting times, so I, like, couldn't really come back. But then, fall semester, my sophomore year, I was like, I want to get back involved. Like, this was a really cool place. Like, I really want to be part of it. So I went through the training class, got certified, and then started my show in spring 2019. And then, like, ever since then, I've just been, like, really involved.
Yes, this is true. So you made a training video for DJs who train people looking to join. I just lost my train of thought.
Mentors.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you made that training video. What made you want to do that? Like, why, what are some of the new things you've brought to the training program, and why did you feel like you should add them?
Well, like, I'm like, you know how they say, there's like this saying, like, you want to get, like, lazy people to do your work because they'll find the easiest way to do it and get it done the fastest.
That's such, like, a you statement.
So I was like, all right.
I love that that's just where your mind went for
no,
this job.
No, wait. So Allie, the general manager, I feel like she gets some credit for the workshop idea because at the beginning of the year over
Shout
the summer,
Allie.
She wanted us to do workshops more often. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I want to do a workshop, but I don't want to do it very often. So I was like, okay, I'll just make it online. So then I have to do it one time and then never again. And then it actually ended up being a lot more work than just holding weekly workshops. But I feel like it's something like a legacy that can like live on from like when I'm gone and graduated and all. And I feel like it's a lot more helpful because like the thing with workshops in the past has been like limited attendance and just like really difficult for people to come because, mm-hmm. you know, we have like 30, 40 mentors probably. So you can't get like all of them in a room to like get trained at one time. That's just literally impossible. So I was like, I want to make it so that the most people can get trained and like make it the easiest for everyone. So I figured like doing something online where I could just send it to them would be the best thing. And that way I can show like video tutorials and stuff like that in there as well. So it was just easiest for me and for everyone involved. So I thought this would be a good idea.
This is true. And if you do want to watch the mentoring video, just for whatever reason, just for fun and pleasure, it's on YouTube and you might see a couple familiar faces in there if you're familiar with the staff of WHUS this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun to film and that was it was very informative and interesting to watch. And so you also are trying to implement like a rewards program too, right, for mentors?
That's the plan, because what's required of a mentor to train a new DJ is they have to dedicate often like 3 weeks of their show to train this new person, and it's very distracting and it's like just like really disrupts the creative flow of like the show for that week, and it's like also kind of a lot of work, and we have no way to reward people like currently in place, and I feel like it's partially like a job. It's like definitely a job, and we like don't pay them, we don't give them like anything. It's basically just an emailed thank you that I give them, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to like put some sort of like incentive program in place to thank people, and also just encourage more people to sign up for mentors, because the more mentors I have, the more training classes I can have and the more people can get on air. So like I'm in the process of trying to like figure out what to do. Like we've got like kind of this like hoodie sweatshirt patch idea going on right now. We're getting kind of like in the mid stages of it, I think. So hopefully that will be arriving.
Yeah.
In the
near
future.
We're definitely running into the wonderful barrier that is bureaucracy, because
yeah.
There's so many, like UConn itself has so many different hoops to jump through. Like certain vendors we can buy from who will only let us buy certain numbers of this and like money and this and designs. So stay tuned. I'm confident in Will, our promotions director.
Yeah, we've made so much more progress on it within this like past like 2 or 3 weeks than we had since like the idea like came about like mm-hmm. a couple months ago. So I think we're like moving on really well with that.
Yeah, definitely. So how many people have gotten trained / air cleared under your reign as training director? Do you know the number?
I actually did just count it for the elections meeting last week,
mm-hmm.
but I have trained, like given the training class to 133 people.
Whoa.
And of them, 80 of them actually finished their mentoring, which is about probably like a 65% retention rate, which is...
That's pretty good. That's over half.
Yeah.
Considering a lot of people just kind of go and then are like, I don't want to take the time to have to go and learn this equipment, like I want to get one and done, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because like the training process like requires them to go to either 3 weeks of like training classes that are like an hour each, or 1 3-hour training class, and then after that they also have to complete 3 weeks of 1 hour mentoring sessions as well.
So and then like, a 30-minute
yeah.
air check.
So it's like a 6.5 like sometimes 7 hour process.
Yeah,
like, it could be like really difficult to get college students specifically to finish that process.
Yep.
So I like to think that I've been like making the classes a little bit more fun and like the whole mentoring process a little bit easier, so like just so that people continue more often.
I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, I think a lot of people come in expecting to just like be able to get on air as like within the next week or whatever, and it's like, nope, we need to make sure that you are a competent person.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't. but that's okay because then we get the ones who are. Mm-hmm. So only the strong can survive here at WHUS. But yeah, very cool. So in addition to being our training director, if anybody goes on the WHUS website and looks under our music section, they will see a lot of content from Rita on there as well.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Rita goes to concerts the way people like go to the dining hall just all the time.
That is very true. It is like probably my favorite thing to do. It's like lots of other people like, you know, do illegal things to relax.
Rita goes to concerts.
I go to concerts. Outside. And I'm just, it's like how people have season tickets to sports. I just like go to concerts.
That's
like
a good analogy. That's a good analogy. It's about the same cost, I would say.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Recently, I've actually been like really getting into like music photography. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to go to a lot of the concerts like at a reduced cost or like completely free just by like agreeing to take pictures at them. So like since I've really gotten into that more seriously, I've been going to more because like now it costs less.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've just always been like really passionate about music. That's like why I got involved at WHUS to begin with. So like, I mean, concerts was just kind of like a natural flow into continuing that more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was your first concert that you've ever been to?
It was a Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus with featuring the Jonas Brothers.
Oh my
the
God.
Best of Both Worlds tour.
That's a good lineup.
Yeah.
I must say.
Yeah. And then after that, it was Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
Yeah. And the weekend opened for him. And I was like, oh my God. Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. Mine was The Wiggles when I was 4. And then it was, I wish I remembered this. It was the Cheetah Girls. My dad took me. It was the Cheetah Girls and Vanessa Hudgens opened for them, but I don't remember that part because like she wasn't in High School Musical then, or High School Musical wasn't out then, so I had no clue who she was.
No, that's like, that was how it was when I saw The Weeknd open because I didn't know who he was. I was, how old was I? 14. All I cared about was Justin Timberlake at the time. And also we had the highest possible seats that you could have, like rows D
and like straight nosebleeds
and we were parallel to the stage, so I could not see anything.
But you could hear it. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, but I really like concerts, and particularly I like being front row to concerts, like general admission concerts. It all really started when I saw like Arctic Monkeys like 2 years ago, and I was like, they're my favorite band ever. I want to get front row. So I like waited
out. True indie kid.
So I waited outside of like Forest Hill Stadium in Queens for like.
Oh, I love it there.
It's a great venue.
I love that place.
Great, great venue. You can show up like really late and still get front row. It's super easy to get front row there.
It is.
But I showed up at like 11 a.m. and like doors opened at 5. So I just like waited outside for like 6 hours, if that's the correct math. But. And then I like was able to get front row by just like running and like going to different entrances than other people. And I was like, dang, that like wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And ever since then, I was like, well, if I could do it that one time, I could do it like every other time. So like now it's just become a habit to show up at venues like a minimum of an hour before. The longest I ever waited was 12 hours for the Strokes.
I was going to say, was that the Strokes?
It sure was.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that whole day was a mess, but...
Yes. You can read about it on our website.
Yeah.
And read his 7,000-word review that I had to edit.
Thanks, Kara.
No problem. What's your... So, Arctic Monkeys are your favorite band, but what's your favorite concert that you've been to? Which might be a hard question, because you've been to, like, 10 million.
I mean, like... I really enjoy Cage the Elephant's live performances. Like, they're really amazing. So, like, I kind of have two. Like, Cage the Elephant's, like, solo performance. It wasn't even a solo performance, but they're one that I saw in August of last year in 2019. At Forest Hill Stadium, again.
Love it.
Was with Beck and Spoon.
I wanted to go to that because I was living in New York at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Could have met up.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't really know you then.
We weren't really friends.
Nope, that's fine.
But yeah, so that one was like probably the best like solo concert, just because like Cage the Elephant is wild live and mm-hmm. they're just, I love them. But then in like November of last year, I went to this like kind of semi-festival type thing. It wasn't a festival, but it had like seven bands.
Oh, the Not So Silent Night.
Yeah, Not So Silent Night. It was really good. It featured, it was like Judah and the Lion, Monsters and Men, Shade, KG Elephant, Vampire Weekend, of Mumford and Sons, and Jimmy Eat World. And like, it was just an amazing lineup. And like, I met up with my friend that I actually met at a concert in June.
That's so cool.
I met her at a concert in June, and now we like see each other at all these different concerts all the time. And we actually like split an Airbnb for the Strokes.
Cute.
So I met up with her there, and then we ended up making friends like with three other girls in line. So it was just like, I had good people with me. It was like amazing bands. So, that was like a really good like overall experience, but mm-hmm. like best concert was probably the KG Elephant one in August.
Cool. What's the worst one you've ever been to?
Oh,
like worst experience, worst performance, whichever.
Worst experience. Well,
was that the Strokes?
I mean, like the Strokes concert itself was really good, but like the whole like experience just like wasn't that great. To like do like the lowdown without me like actually getting really heated. I like purchased a VIP ticket because I really wanted to be front row because it was general admission and it was New Year's Eve, and like front row is kind of my thing, like with general admission. So like I really wanted to be like in the front, so I like purchased a VIP upgrade on top of like a really expensive ticket because they had been sold out for a while. But like I have major FOMO, which is like fear of missing out. So like mm-hmm. I didn't want to like not go to it. So I dropped kind of a lot of money on the tickets because I thought like it was going to be like VIP, which would give you early entry to the stage. But they falsely advertised it or was really misleading in the advertisements. So it wasn't early entry onto the stage. It was early entry into like this private room, mm-hmm. which was definitely not fancy enough to warrant the cost of the VIP upgrade. But so yeah, no one told us throughout the entire process that like the like VIP didn't get us into the stage, so we spent the entire like half an hour of early entry trying to figure out where the stage was. Then when we found the stage and went down there, security guards came down and kicked us off and told us to leave. Mm-hmm. So we had to go back up to the room and basically just spent like a half an hour running around trying to figure out what was going on. And then eventually we like at 7:30 came and we could like go down there, but the doors opened at the same time as general admission. So like we spent like an extra like $100 to like get in at the same time as general admission, which was like not what we wanted. Like everyone who had a VIP ticket thought that it was like early entry to the stage. So I ended up still getting front row because like a little aggressive. Yes. So like I was able to like push my way through. But yeah, it was just like it really brought like the whole vibes down because like we waited outside for 12 hours mm-hmm. on top of like that. So by the time we got in there, like there was no sense of like a line anymore. Like order was all messed up, and then general admission came in at the same time as us. So like we waited outside for 12 hours for literally no reason, and it was like 15 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. It was really cold. So yeah, that was probably the worst experience. And I don't want to like call out any like actual performances that I didn't like because I feel like that's mean, because they didn't do anything to me. Like there are definitely like performances where I was like, that wasn't a great performance, but I don't want to call anyone out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because there was like they were just like boring compared to other people. So yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that seems like a good time to end it because it's coming down to
such a negative note.
Well, you know, that's okay. You can read more about Rita's concerts experiences on our website. There have been some good ones. And, you know, Strokes are the Strokes, so that makes it all worth it.
It does. It really does.
But, yeah, so thank you so much, Rita, for speaking with me.
You're so welcome, Kara.
It's been a pleasure.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Of course it has been. And a little special shout out to someone else sitting in the studio with us, Kate Ariano. She has been sitting here quietly observing. And special shout out to her because she is lovely.
Ooh.
And thank you, everybody out there, for listening in on this show. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Kara Murray, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a great day.